So this is one of my favorite Sundays of the entire year. It's always a joy, and it seems like more shoes than normal, but it's awesome to look out and see so many shoes. And so if you're new here, you haven't heard of Barefoot Sunday, like you've just been coming, you're like, hey, last week I had to give blood, this week I'm giving away my shoes, what's going on at this church? So let me explain what's going on. And I don't normally preach without shoes, but I gave away my shoes in the first service. Reminds me of when I was in India and I had to leave my shoes outside to preach. And I'm like, oh, there's some ladies in my church that'd be horrified right now knowing that I'm standing up there preaching without shoes on, which gave me delight. Anyways, a disclaimer. What we are doing today is a way to honor God. It is a way to love others. So there's no pressure, all right? If you come here and you're like, wait a minute, that guy's going to ask me to give away the shoes that I'm wearing, all right? Some of you have already given away way more shoes than I gave away this morning. There is no pressure here. It's an invitation. This is a way to honor God. And so what I will invite you, those that are able and willing, bring up shoes. Some of you already have. You can donate the very shoes that you're wearing. And there's an invitation to go barefoot the rest of the way, or the rest of the day. All of our donations go to an organization called Souls for Souls. Some of those, because you may be saying, well, these are old shoes. They will repair them. They will give the shoes to people that own a repair shop. It's creating micro enterprises so people can feed their families. I think it's brilliant. Others of those shoes, they will go directly to people. We've seen stories from people as close as Orlando. I was going to say Ocala, but it's that way. Orlando, where they have new shoes. And what do new shoes allow people to do? They allow them to show up at work. So they can have a job that allows them to go to school, allows them to go shopping, allows them to do things that many of us kind of take for granted. So my invitation is, would you go barefoot for a day so somebody doesn't have to all year? And what I want to do is we're in the book of Isaiah. We've been going through Isaiah, and I want to look at Isaiah 58 and apply it to what we're doing today. And again, if you haven't heard me say this already, I'm going to give us a way to apply this verse in our lives. So Isaiah 58 is going to be on the screens. We've got Bibles in the seats in front of you. You got one on your phone. We will send a millennial or Gen Z to help you if you can't find it on your phone. Just let us know. Isaiah 58, I'm going to read 12 verses in there. I'll go through just a few at a time. But Isaiah 58, the Bible reads this way. It says, "Cry aloud, do not hold back. Lift up your voice like a trumpet. Declare to my people their transgression, to the house of Jacob their sins. Yet they seek me daily and delight to know my ways, as if they were a nation that did righteousness and did not forsake the judgment of their God. They ask me for righteous judgments, and they delight to draw near to God." So let's put this into context, contextually speaking. This is spoken to the those that were exiled to Babylon. They are now returning to Jerusalem. They're coming back to their home, their land, back to the temple. And something strange or perhaps predictable happens. Those that return from captivity are repeating the same patterns that led to captivity. And maybe you've experienced that in your life, where you get into trouble, you do something that's not good for your life, it leads you to captivity. You get delivered from that, but you repeat that same pattern. And oddly enough, according to the text, they kind of go on with their lives as if, hey, I already solved that. We've already been delivered. Everything's fine. I can continue to live this way. And I read that, and I'm like, okay, that sounds pretty hopeless right off the bat. Hey, welcome. Let's go through this passage, because God gives us a way. How do we break this pattern of sin? How does God give us direction through this passage? And here's the pattern. It's right in that first verse. Sin. Somebody says, what's wrong with the world? It's sin. Sin is what is wrong in the world. And by the way, sin has bigger consequences than just us. Maybe you've said this, you've heard this. You're saying, well, my sin doesn't hurt anybody. Well, maybe if you live in an absolute bubble, and I don't mean the bubble that's behind us, other than living in an absolute bubble, your sin affects other people. And one of the greatest effects of sin is poverty and suffering in the world. Poverty and suffering in the world. And I got, there's several sermons that we have out there that go into greater detail than I'm going to go this morning. But let me just suggest right now, poverty and suffering is a result of sin in the world. And when I say that, hear me out. I'm not saying that those who experience poverty are worse sinners than others. What I'm saying is poverty and sin is poverty and suffering is a result of sin in the world. Nor am I saying that, okay, well, you're suffering more than this person, so obviously you have sinned more than others. Read the book of Job. That'll help you out in there. That's not the issue. Here's what happens. The poor get more, are hurt more by sin. All right? Because sometimes we'd say, hey, we're all in the same boat. No, we're not. We're all in the same storm. We're not in the same boat. Sometimes you have certain protections that may help you out more than another person. So we're all in the same storm, but not the same boat. Let me put this into context so we can understand God's complaint about Israel at this point. So the people went into exile and they return. And you would think, hey, this is great. We're not in exile anymore. Everything's going to be good. We learned our lesson. You know, Jerusalem's going to flourish. God's people are going to flourish. And then Nehemiah writes this. So they've returned from exile. And Nehemiah is talking about the conditions. Nehemiah 5, verse 3. It said, there were also those who said, we are mortgaging our fields, our vineyards, and our houses to get grain because of the famine. By the way, why is there famine in the world? Because the world is broken. All right? So that's a result of sin. It's not their personal fault that there's a famine, but because of sin, there's a famine. And it said, and there were those who said, we have borrowed money for the king's tax. This isn't the king of Israel or Judah. This is the foreign king that I'm sure it's a fair tax. I'm joking there. Okay, so he's got a tax on them. And so we're borrowing money for the king's tax on our fields and our vineyards. And then they ask this question. They say, now our flesh is as the flesh of our brothers, and our children as their children. So the argument is like, we're all equal here, right? My flesh is the same as your flesh. My blood is the same as your blood. Here's the argument. And it says, yet we are forcing our sons and daughters to be slaves. And some of our daughters have already been enslaved. All right, when they mention daughters being enslaved, you could talk to me afterwards, but that's a horrible thing. Everything that they're talking about in this passage, we would call human trafficking today. All right? And so they're saying, look, we are overwhelmed with this famine. We're overwhelmed with the tax from this king. And we're selling our land to the wealthier people. We're selling our children. We're sending our daughters. You know, hey, how's your daughter doing? Oh, she's fine, off in Egypt somewhere. To stay alive. And it says, but it's not in our power to help it, for other men have our fields and our vineyards. So this guy, he had a field this size, his field's now this size, and the people that were here are sold into slavery. And Nehemiah says to the people, Nehemiah 5:8, said to them, "We are, as far as we are able, have bought back our Jewish brothers." So Nehemiah and some others said, "Hey, they're selling people into slavery. Let's buy them back." That's cool. Ransoming people. They're buying them back who have been sold to the nations. But you even sell your brothers that they may be sold to us. He's going, this is a repetitive cycle. This is what you're doing is not good. We're buying the people back. We're trying to redeem. We're trying to restore this so Israel can point people to God. But it's falling apart. And so sin has this dramatic effect of the returning exiles. And some people are doing well. Other people are starving. Other people are sold into slavery. And you go, man, post-exile or pre-exile and post-exile doesn't seem a whole lot different. It still seems that this sin is destroying God's community, and God's people need to live God's way. Listen, deliverance will get you out of Babylon. God delivered them from Babylon, brought them back. But discipleship gets Babylon out of you. And the problem is they brought, well, not only did they bring Babylon back, they had Babylon in them before they went into exile. And so... We need to come under the Lord's discipline. We need to practice spiritual disciplines and discipleship. Let me point out another thing, because there's probably like two or three of you that remember last week that I quoted Isaiah 42. Anybody remember that? Those two guys over there. See, I told you there was two. When I say it, some of you will. Speaking of Jesus, pointing to Jesus, Isaiah 42, it said, "He will not cry aloud or lift his voice or make it heard in the street." And you're looking at this and you're like, okay, Pastor, last week you told us to not go out there shouting. You told us not to cry out loud in the street. And this week he's saying, cry out loud. And you're like, help me out here. Am I supposed to be crying out there or am I supposed to be quiet? Yes. Let's give us some context here. I would say the crying out in this passage is a lament for what is broken. It's saying, look, this is terrible. Our people are starving. Our people are dying. We're no better off than before we went into exile. A second thing I would say is think about power and position. Now, many of you here today, you may be in a position where you can donate the very shoes you have. You're thinking, no big deal. I'll stop at the store on the way home, get a new pair, or wear one of the 15 that have been in the closet for years. And so you may be in that position. Now, think about Jesus. Jesus comes on the scene. He's not trying to gain power and position. He already had that. He already knew who he was. He's not trying to gain that by shouting people down, right? He's not trying to do that. Instead, what Jesus does is he shows us how to live in a world that is addicted to power. Okay? We're hungering. We're thirsting for power. If I could just get to here. If I could just get to here, and then my life is going to be great. You ever try that one? And then you get there, and you're like, yeah, it wasn't there. It was here. You know, or you go, yeah, you know what? Wherever I get to, I'm still there. And I still got to deal with the heart issues. So in this world, sometimes people assert power over the truth. They're going to outshout. They're going to speak louder. I mean, the king taxes whatever he wants, right? Why? He's got the power. He can do that. So power can speak over truth. But the prophet here and the people of God were to speak truth to power. Right? The prophet, they continue to speak truth to power. And let me tell you some places where we can speak truth to power in this world of sin and darkness. We can speak truth to that. And you know where we should start when we speak to the power of sin and darkness? The power of sin that's operating right here. The power of darkness in my life. And in fact, that's what God says. God says, let's start back here. And I pray something today as we give shoes. And again, thank you so much. You've already given so many. But in a way, as we give shoes, we're speaking to the power of darkness. We're saying, God, you have blessed me abundantly. Because the world tells me I don't have enough. And you have blessed me abundantly. And I'm going to speak truth to darkness. That there's somebody out there. Imagine that today. There is somebody. Somebody out there doesn't own a pair of shoes. And they're going to have a pair of shoes today. Because you have donated. You are speaking to the power of darkness. You're speaking to the power that says you need more. There's not enough. You take care of yourself. And so you are speaking truth to that power. And when we do that, we're not shouting out with arrogance, with contempt or triumphalism that, hey, we're better than everyone else. If we're going to shout out, let's shout out and lament. Let's shout out and the world is broken. And this pains me. And in that, we identify with the brokenness of the world. And sometimes we identify with that and name the brokenness within ourselves. Remember Isaiah, the one that's saying, shout out, cry out. He's the same one that said, Lord, I am a man of unclean lips. Right? And so we're identifying with that. Now here's what God's people are saying to God. Oh, by the way, there's a chance if you give away your shoes today, you may show up to a restaurant or to a store, and they're going to say, why aren't you wearing shoes? You might even get kicked out of that store. Okay, now let me tell you what not to do. Don't shout out. Don't yell at them. Don't say, well, you're going to hear from Pastor Don Winters today. Okay. Yes, they're going to hear from me. I am so sorry. Okay. Here's my recommendation. You do you. But if you do you, you might leave my name out of it. I would recommend to ask yourself, if you get escorted out of the store, just to sit there and go, how does this feel? Because there's somebody else that's experiencing that, not by choice, but because they don't have a pair of shoes. And so just pause and think, okay, what does that feel like? This is kind of humiliating. Other people are looking at me. And then do another thing. Just say, hey, I'm sorry, but I gave away my shoes at church today so somebody wouldn't have to go barefoot for the rest of the year. That's speaking. That's speaking into the darkness. And there's a chance they might go, all right, get in there and buy what you need to do. But if not, don't outshout them, all right? Okay, we're cool? Leave my name out of it if you do something otherwise. All right. So God's people say, why have we fasted and you see not? It's kind of like, God, we found the problem. Why have we humbled ourselves and you take no knowledge of it? Behold, he's going to answer. Behold, in the day you seek, and behold, in the day you fast, you seek your own pleasure. You oppress all your workers. Behold, you fast only to quarrel and fight and to hit with a wicked fist. Fasting like yours this day will not make your voice heard on high. Is such the fast that I've chosen for a person to humble himself? Is it to bow down its head like a reed and spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Will you call this a fast, a day acceptable to the Lord? So notice the shift. Okay, God, we're back. Everything should be great. We should be worshiping in the temple, singing hallelujah like we were earlier. And there's a problem. And they're saying, God, why haven't you done your part? And what they're saying is, you know, we did the practical steps. We showed up on the Sabbath. We did this. And let me just say this. Reformation without transformation is not reformation. It is religious activity at its worst. Right? There's got to be that heart change. There's got to be that heart that says, I want what you want. And so when we fast, typically we In the Bible, it's talking about fasting from food, but you could fast from a lot of things. Today, as a spiritual act or a discipline, you can fast from wearing shoes. You're literally saying, okay, I'm going to fast from wearing shoes today, or I'm going to fast from having 30 pairs of shoes in my closet. I'm going to narrow it down to 5. I'm going to fast for that to make a difference for a purpose. Now, did you know Jesus never commanded us to fast? Now, he did say a couple things just to make sure, like you're not going, okay, cool, we never have to fast. Just work that out with the Lord. But he did say there were certain strongholds that won't come down without fasting. Remember that? They're like, hey, Jesus, why couldn't we do this? And he says, well, this only happens through prayer and fasting. And then there's another time where he says, when you pray and fast, as if Jesus is like when this happens, here's how I want you to do it. And he assumed that we would do this. We would fast, but we would do it in humility. And maybe, just maybe, there's some of us in here that there's a stronghold that needs to come down in our lives. There's this thing where we need to say, okay, God, here's the issue. I need to pray and fast. I need this stronghold to come down. And fasting, whether it's shoes, whether it's food, whatever it is, every other spiritual discipline is for freedom. That you would experience freedom, others would experience freedom. It's for purpose, and it's for power. Let's see how this works out. Verse 6, God says, is this not the fast I choose? To loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the straps of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free, and to break every yoke. And isn't that awesome? So, I mean, would you like to see that in the world? And it says, is it not to share your bread with the hungry and to bring the homeless poor into your house? And when you see the naked, to cover him and to not hide yourself from your own flesh. So in the previous verse 5, he says, is the fast for you to humble yourself? And that word humble could be translated as afflicted. And so God's like, hey, let's reason this out here. You are going hungry. You are personally afflicting yourself to make change, but your lifestyle afflicts other people. He's like, this is not how this works. You're not eating, but you're afflicting other people. That's not freedom. That's not purpose. That's not proper use of power. And think about the context. All right, Nehemiah gave us some context that the standard practice in the culture included slavery at that time. It was legal in the ancient world. It's kind of a standard practice. But here's the problem. God said to Israel, you're to be different. You're not to be like the other nations. You're to be this nation that I will bless all the nations on the earth. And you're to be the nation that people look to and say, oh, that's what it's like to be in a relationship with God. The church. People ought to look at the church and go, oh, that's what it's like to love people. That's what it's like to serve people. And what happens is we have a tendency to forget who we are. We have a tendency to forget the story that we belong to. We'll turn on the TV and we'll watch the evening news and we'll say, oh, that's the story. They're telling the story that I belong to. No, they're telling you the culture that you live in. And God has given us the story that we belong to. The culture here forgot about human dignity. The culture here forgot what it meant to be made in the image and likeness of God. You know, in the early church in Antioch, they were first called Christians. And they weren't first called Christians like, man, they have solid theology over there. Those people, their Christology, their ecclesiology and eschatology, that they're awesome. And someone's like, what did he just say? That's not what they did. The enemies of God, the people that had not received the gospel, had said, those people are so Christ-like. Let's just call them Christians. How cool would that be if people went around, the worst things they could say is, These people are so holy. They look so much like Jesus. They're grace-filled. And, oh, here they go. They're reconciling stuff again. They're reconciling relationships. They're offering healing. They're offering forgiveness. They're living sacrificially. Oh, no, they want more hope. Oh, and they're loving their enemies. Wouldn't that be cool if that's what the world said about the church? Not too often. Sometimes. Listen, true worship involves action, not just ritual. All right? It involves action from the heart. And what I love about today is it takes our worship and it moves us beyond the songs. And the songs are awesome, by the way. I was telling the first service that sometimes I get up here and I just feel guilty. I'm like, oh man, Lord, you're doing something here. What we're doing here, it moves us beyond the songs, moves us beyond the sermon, and I think that's all important, but it moves us to solidarity. It moves us to sacrificial compassion, because what we're doing in a small part here is we're standing with 1.4 billion people, 1.4 billion people who are susceptible to disease that is prevented by a pair of shoes. How incredible. Give a pair of shoes. And you are standing with that person. We're standing with 300 million children who walk daily barefoot that are facing disease and injury. And so my invitation today is to enter into that with others. Actually, maybe even enter into their suffering. It's funny when I think I'm entering into the suffering. I'm like, oh, I got to walk from here to the car, and it's hot out today. Yeah, they might be walking a little farther than me. But to enter into that suffering and not just observe it from a distance. Okay, a couple more. Here's the fasting that God chooses. Because we've seen all the stuff, and it's kind of like when the doctor says, hey, here's why this is going on. And I'm like, and you're like, I know what causes this. I need an answer here. And so God's going to give an answer here. Here's the fasting that God chooses. And here's why you may want to give away some shoes. And again, this is a way to be faithful. You know, some of you are like, hey, I'm supporting 5 villages in India. I can't give away another pair of shoes. Please support the 5 villages in India, all right? But here's a way that we could be faithful today. To loosen the bonds of wickedness. To undo the band of the yoke. To let the oppressed go free. How cool is that? Maybe think about that as you're giving your shoes, or that those of you that have already given, that you're letting the oppressed go free, to break every yoke, to divide your bread with the hungry. Well, today we're dividing our shoes with the shoeless. And if you want to divide some bread with those that are hungry, we have that too. Go ahead and take that. Give that bread away. Take it for yourself if you need it. To bring the homeless into the house, when you see the naked, to cover them, and to not hide yourself from your own flesh. So practical steps. Here's what I would do. Here's what I did. When I gave away my shoes, I sat down there. I took them off, and I prayed. Like, God, reveal in my heart. Reveal in my heart any sin that's here. And rather than argue with God, just confess it. Just go, oh, yeah, God, you're right. I do that. And I even say, God, are there things in my life that oppress other people? And you don't even have to guess. Like, he gives us a whole list here. Am I quarreling? Am I pointing the finger? I don't, but they do. Look up irony later. Am I pointing the finger? Am I striking a wicked fist? Keep in mind, God knows your social media, even if you have it on private. So in verse 10, God says, he says to do something different here. He says, pour yourself out for the hungry and satisfy the desire of the afflicted. And it's fascinating because to me, it sounds like two things. One, it sounds like Jesus. And the other thing, it sounds like God's saying, because I could do this, you could do this. You can go, I'm not afflicting people. I'm not oppressing people, or maybe I am, and I'm going to stop. But God's saying, don't just not afflict, don't afflict people, okay? Don't just not afflict people. Don't just stop from doing that, but satisfy their desire, okay? It's not my fault that people don't have shoes in the world. Okay, that's fine. But God says, satisfy that desire. Pour yourself out is the literal words that he says here. John Piper says this. John Piper says, our souls are meant to be satisfied in God. We have learned again and again that the satisfaction in God comes to consummation when we extend our satisfaction in him to others. Pouring ourselves out for the poor is the path of deepest satisfaction. Again, I repeat, if you give today and you spend the rest of the day in solidarity, you're doing it for those who have no choice. And you're choosing to do that. And the question is, will you pour yourself out for God? And you don't have to do this. You could pour yourself out in many ways. Ask God, he'll show you. And let's look at the results. And tell me if you want any of this in your life. Because God says, when you do this, here's what happens. Then shall your light break forth like the dawn, and healing shall spring up speedily, and your righteousness shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Anybody want any of that? Verse 9, it says, and then you shall call, and the Lord will answer, and you shall cry, and he will say, here I am. If you take away the yoke from your midst, the pointing of the finger, the speaking of wickedness, if you pour yourself out for the hungry and satisfy the desire of the afflicted, then shall your light rise in the darkness, and your gloom be as noonday. And the Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your desire in the scorched places. Isn't that crazy? I'm giving away. I'm doing something else. And God says, and your desire is satisfied in that, in the scorched places, and makes your bones strong. Some of you probably realize as I age, you're like, I like that verse here. It's going to make my bones strong. And you shall be like a watered garden, like a spring of water whose water does not fail. And then this is awesome. And your ancient ruins shall be rebuilt. We live in ancient ruins. You shall raise up the foundations of many generations. You shall be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of the streets to dwell in. Wouldn't that be cool, the church? You're the repairer of the breach. You're out there in simple and small ways repairing the breach. And God's invitation is to join him in his chosen fast. It may be shoes, it may be something else, but his chosen fast to raise up the foundations of many generations, to let your light break forth like the dawn. And when we do, he's our rear guard. Our light will rise in the darkness. The Lord satisfies the desires of our soul. Any buyers on that? Any takers? Lord satisfies the desire of your soul. We're like watered gardens that do not fail. Find your deepest satisfaction in God. Find it in him. Let me close with a quote from David Platt. David Platt says this. He says, let us sacrifice it all for the glory of Christ among a billion people who have not even heard the gospel, for the sake of men, women, and children who are starving, suffering, and dying every single day, for the millions in your city and my city who do not know Christ and are headed for a Christless eternity, for ourselves, for our churches, for our families, for our children who will come behind us. For all this and more, let's sacrifice it all. And when we do, we will discover that Jesus is indeed absolutely worthy of all our plans, all our dreams, all our ambitions. Amen to that. And what I truly love about today is how simple is that? That very, very simply we have an opportunity to turn our worship into compassion, our ritual into justice, our awareness into action. Today is a chance to walk the talk. a chance to walk the talk and barefoot if necessary for the sake of the vulnerable. Let me pray. Lord God, thank you that you do deliver us from this cycle of sin. You deliver us. You have poured yourself out for us, and we praise you. We give you thanks for that, Lord. And Lord, may we as your people, may we walk in your chosen fast. May we pour ourselves out for others. May we repair the breach. And so, Father, have your way today. Have your way with your people. May you be glorified. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Those of you that are feeling led and are willing and able to do so, if you have not brought your shoes forward, you can do that at this time.